So through many different circumstances, each one of us were chosen and tasked by God to perform a mission. You know, it's within our power to decide whether we accept it or not. There's no tape player going to blow up right now, but choosing not to accept this mission doesn't make for a good story, doesn't make for a good movie. They always accept the mission, and that should be kind of our attitude as well. Well, based on the fact that we are congregating here with one another, we all have accepted this mission. Well, God is merciful. He has done taking care of almost a third of the work that is required of us. So today I want to talk to all of us about the other two-thirds of the work that we have to complete in this mission when we aren't sleeping. Now, if you sleep during church, then maybe that's cheating, but we all understand that our calling takes more than a once-a-week altar call, a once-a-week good-feeling, great song service. It takes daily growth walking down the path that we are walking down. We also understand that this calling has a bigger purpose than just solely to save our skins. We are supposed to be examples. Paul said in Galatians 2:13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You know, Christ commissioned us to go forth, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not all about us. It's about what we can also bring to our fellow man. So how then, with that understanding, are we interacting with this world? You know, what are we doing to exemplify, to show as an example, Christ? Are we truly those lights on top of the hills that we're supposed to be? Or are we torches concealed in jars, ready for battle, but never exposed and never used? You know, Gideon's army fighting the Midianites, as we heard about recently, is a great template for us to follow and for us to kind of pattern our spiritual lives on. You know, the army held, as they were commanded, held torches in jars as they prepared themselves for battles. They surrounded that Midianite camp. Then at one accord, they broke the jars and revealed those torches. And then, and most importantly in this story, they let God fight the battle for them. Well, as Christians, we are commanded to be lights to this world, as I said. You know, breaking those proverbial jars in our lives is a one-way choice, like it was for those that followed Gideon. You know, the army couldn't conceal the light after those jars were broken. They were exposed. They had to fight and go forth. And likewise, once we put our hand to the plow, as we know, we can't turn back. We can only go forward. And we must, as those who fought with Gideon, must rely on God to fight the battle. That's why there were so few. That's why there were only 300, and the purpose of only 300 being used, because God was going to fight that battle for them. And, you know, it's God's purpose to use our lights, our examples, to lead others to Him as well. Well, you know, personal encounters that we might have with one another that maybe seem like chance encounters have brought many of us into this room to fellowship with one another today. What we think might have been, you know, just a chance meeting in somewhere has helped this particular, even this Colorado church, grow. Well, that's God's hands at work. That's not us going out and finding who we think should be here. That's God working. If you will, turn with me to Matthew 5 to read a very familiar scripture along this topic. One I just mentioned earlier. Matthew 5, starting in verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, the key that I want to maybe focus on is the last sentence in verse 16. It's not our own desires, or it's not for our own desires, it's not for our own glory that we're supposed to shine. We shine so that God can be glorified. That's why we are to be these lights on the hill. You know, as lights to this world, we are to be His instruments, letting His Spirit guide us. Which brings me to Forrest Gump. Now, many are probably familiar with this movie. And in one part, Forrest decides to run and ends up running for quite a long time. So long, in fact, that his hair and his beard grow out quite considerably. And he has a full entourage following him. Well, I commute to work on my bike, and I'm able to use the trail system in Fort Collins. And on a side note, talk about, you know, strength. My commute's 4 miles each way. Eric's is only 2. I'm not saying anything, just facts, arm strength. Well, there was one particular runner that I encounter a few times a week in the morning as I'm usually going against him, who looks like Forrest Gump, the runner. Not the early Forrest Gump, the Forrest Gump with the long beard, the long hair. Well, most people on the trail at this time in the morning at 6, especially in the winter when it was dark, are all about the business of getting to their destinations. They aren't necessarily talkative. They aren't necessarily outgoing or overtly friendly. Well, Forrest, as I have named this gentleman that I pass, is completely different. You know, I heard him greeting people ahead of me when I first would pass him. I can hear him actually greeting people behind me as he does me. It's good morning. How you doing? And it's typical, he will catch your eye. You can't pass him without him getting you your attention and blurting out a really nice good morning or a pleasantry. He makes eye contact. He engages, like I said, with just a simple pleasantry every morning when I run across him. I mean, after several weeks of this, being in a grumpy mood at 6 in the morning riding my bike, I began to enjoy those brief encounters. It was a nice way to start my morning, just to have somebody that, see, there was one person in the world that enjoyed being up that early. And it brought a bright spot to the cold, dark emptiness of the Fort Collins Spring Creek Trail. Actually, it's not that dark or cold. What it did was to motivate me to change the way I interact with people on that trail. So for the past month or so, I've tried to proactively greet people like he greets people. And what I've experienced on that has become a good analogy maybe to our greater calling. So I'll call this section here, Lessons Learned While Biking to Work. And one of the first, maybe discouraging things I've learned is not everyone will smile or say hi or even acknowledge I exist when I pass by them. If you will, turn with me to John 15. John 15 and starting in verse 7. These things I command you that you love one another. That's the first command here to take into consideration. Continuing in verse 18, if the world hates me, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know, there are two old grumpy guys that I pass that I can't even get a grunt out of. I can't get an eye contact from. They are just concerned about getting to wherever it is they go, and I usually ride against them in the morning. But I'm still working on it. Every time I pass him, I've been saying hi, and I get a little zing-zing with his bell if I meet him in the tunnel. But nothing more than that. But that shouldn't discourage me. Another lesson I've learned is thinking you should be friendly is not the same as being friendly. If you will, turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3 and starting in verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, glancing as I pass or with a muffled hi under my breath is not going to get noticed as I pass by somebody. But beaming out a resounding hello, good morning, will get noticed. It'll force people to see me, force people to hear me, maybe look up and smile as well. You know, the time it takes to pass by somebody when we're passing this trail is short, like our calling, like the opportunities we might have to be the lights that God wants us to be. So it's important to act as that opportunity and be able to act as that opportunity presents itself. And one of the lessons I've learned while biking to work is our actions can be infectious. And we must act even when it makes no sense to do so. In Luke 2, and I'll just read this, in verse 49 we read, "And he said to them," Jesus, when he was a young child, "why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" You know, it is vital that we shine as lights on a hilltop constantly in this world that is filled with darkness, filled with people that are constantly not being lights for God's way of life. We must always be about our Father's business because we don't know when our light's going to be seen. We don't know when our light is going to be needed. We are just called to shine, to be those lights. You know, our interaction with those around us means little if it's entirely theoretical. You know, it takes putting yourself out in the open, exposing yourselves, having people think you might be a little off because you're that friendly at 6 a.m. But you know what? Some people won't. Some people won't think it's weird. Some people might take up the action to be infected by that and do the same. And you know, in the end, it's not our decision who accepts or who rejects the example of God's Spirit in our lives, who takes in what the example that we should be living. It's God who calls. It's God who opens the minds up to understanding. But we can, and in fact we are commanded to, have a part in this process. So let's make sure, brethren, that our interactions lead people to God and not away.